podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Friday. Welcome back. It is Ben and Paul Woodsy. Little under the weather is not with us on this Friday. Hopefully we'll be back good to go on a Monday. Our thanks again to Darren Smith. Just a really fun conversation from Barcelona, Spain. Talking soccer, baseball, and more. Nude beaches, wine, siestas. That was really cool. If you missed it, you can go back on our Odyssey app and or our YouTube feed. And Paulie posts all the hours of the show. You can watch the video content there as well on our Ben and Woods channel on YouTube. It is also a Friar Friday, not just a Friday. And joining us at 9 o'clock will be the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Shildt. Now, neither you nor I, Paulie, had bothered to look at the weather forecast for Pittsburgh. Darren brought it up
like the professional that he is.
Yeah, from the other side of the Atlantic, he had done his homework. And I popped on the game yesterday when, you know, Skeens was pitching and everything looked good. Saw the pictures from, you know, Don and Mudd and Jesse on their Instagram feeds yesterday. Looked like a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not the case anymore. They have storms, lightning, all kinds of problems in the area.
Chance of rain 60%, scattered thunderstorms this evening, a steady rain arriving overnight, so probably even more likely of some issues tomorrow. When I just Googled during the commercial break, Pittsburgh weather, because again, I saw the game yesterday. They play, and so I don't know. I know the weather can change pretty quickly, but I saw they played yesterday. Didn't even occur to me to maybe check the weather. And yeah, it's rain today, rain tomorrow, rain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Like through most of next week. Some of the headlines on Google: wide swath of devastation left in wake of storm. Three deaths reported after severe storms batter Pittsburgh area.
Oh.
Two people dead, nearly 400,000 without power. That was a couple of days ago.
Now, yeah. The weather changes a lot faster there than it does here, so that doesn't mean they can't get the baseball games in, but it is a headache for Dave Marcus. As Darren mentioned, and our Sam Levitt, he's the one who really
has to wear it
because all of a sudden he's done with a pregame show for an hour, and then 10 minutes later, Jesse's tossing it back to Sam for more coverage because with a game at, you know, 3:40, I imagine Chris and Scraby will be in for 30 minutes, but then they'll be gone, and it'll be like Sam's job to fill hours and hours this afternoon if there is any rain delay theater. So we'll keep you updated if we hear anything. Sammy, of course, will keep you updated during the EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 2:40 today. We will, though, rain or shine, talk to Mike Shildt coming up in less than an hour. And while I'm definitely going to ask him about what pie I think he was eating when I saw him earlier this week.
I mean, I have to ask him about his favorite superhero?
Maybe.
Since he's not here.
I also will ask him about this stat that I was just sent by the Padres Public Relations Department, Darren Feeney and company. And this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they should be putting this out in the universe, but, you know, they did their pregame notes and getting ready to release those for tonight's game. And they told me this: tonight marks Mike Shildt's 31st career game managed at PNC Park. No surprise, you know, with the Cardinals in the NL Central, they made plenty of trips there every year. He is 25-5 in his career at PNC. That's an .833 winning percentage. And that makes Mike Shildt the most successful manager at any ballpark in major league history with a minimum of 25 games, ahead of the legendary Jim Muttry, who went 26-6 at Metropolitan Park, and George Wright, who went 34-8 at the Messer Street Grounds, both, you know, turn of the century 1900 type stadiums that were played. So Mike Shildt, and, you know, you can understand the Cardinals were pretty good when he was the manager, and the Pirates were bad.
Yeah.
He is absolutely dominated at PNC Park.
That's something else.
And then I will also ask Mike Shildt, because I did my own research last night, and I know Mike is a buff when it comes to baseball history. He often talks about Jackie Robinson, Negro Leagues. You know, the history of the game is important to him. And I thought, well, that's cool, because you're going to one of the most historic I know it's the new Yankee Stadium, but still, Monument Park, everything going this weekend, going to Yankee Stadium. So I wanted to look up what his managerial record was at Yankee Stadium. And I went back through all of his years at the Cardinals, and I realized they didn't go last year because the Yankees came to San Diego. He has never managed a game at Yankee Stadium in his career. He was like Cardinals? 3.5 years.
Right.
He was interim
for
half.
It wasn't a long time.
But they never made a trip to Yankee Stadium when he was the skipper, I believe, of the St. Louis Cardinals, and has not gone as skipper of the San Diego Padres until this road trip.
Right,
so
he came here last year.
I would venture that Mike Schilt is going to consider that to be a pretty special treat to get to walk into the dugout as the manager of the San Diego Padres at Yankee Stadium and get to manage a game there in the Bronx for the first time in his life. But I will ask him.
Yeah, it's got to be a cool feeling. I can't imagine there's too many other ballparks, if any, that he hasn't been in. So he'll be just like a rookie.
I also want to ask him about his habits on the road, because I'm curious about this. You know, you travel a lot. Jesse talks about it. You get into your routines on the road. And I wonder if Mike Schilt is a room service guy when it comes to breakfast. Paulie, I know you, and I know Woods, like a good room service
every
now and then.
Big room service fan, especially
breakfast. Get the cart, the silver dish, the tray.
Just cloche.
The cloche, yes, that's what they call it. Wait, that was an incorporator word early on in Jesse's incorporated cloche, the topping to the plate that they bring you with room service. But I am totally anti room service when I travel.
Of course you are.
And it's not exactly why you think. Now, it's partly why you think. Room service is pricey.
$18 for chicken
room
wings?
Service is pricey. But here's my point. When you're going to a new city, I feel like there are so many interesting options that you want to check. That if you are simply dining from your hotel, your Marriott's, you know, food service people at the bottom, just like corporate stuff, and that's all you're ordering, you're missing out on the flavor of the city that you're going to visit. If you really don't want to leave your hotel room, DoorDash has kind of made room service almost anachronistic. If you want to get something from a cool spot in the city, like a cool breakfast spot that they're known for, they're famous for, just have it DoorDash to your hotel. You can have it right up to the room. Still, I mean, you don't get the cart and the tray, but if that's, I don't believe that room service is really necessary anymore. That you're just overpaying for regular old French toast or pancakes that you could get better pretty much anywhere else, and you're paying like three times what you would normally pay for it when you don't have to. At DoorDash, you're going to pay a little bit more, but you're not going to pay the room service cost for it. So I am firmly in the anti-room service camp.
I can't disagree with where you're at right now. I fully get it. It's easier. It's just as easy, I should say, with DoorDash. You can get anything. You know, if you're in Philly and you want a cheesesteak and your hotel doesn't have one, you can have one DoorDash.
I'm sure they have one, but I would feel like if I ordered a cheesesteak from the Marriott in Philly instead of one of their legendary cheesesteak establishments.
I think that's more than fair. I think, like, personally, as I'm like thinking through my life as you were talking there, I'm like, well, like, the most common place I go is Las Vegas. We go there once a year at least, and that's a little bit different. Like, you're probably not getting something
Vegas is so hard to get out of your room sometimes and out of the hotel that. So, like, I can see the appeal of just staying in your room and getting room service.
I acknowledge that's the exception probably and not necessarily the rule. But yeah, for me, like, that's absolutely a staple.
When we go to Philly later this summer, I don't want it to be a fight, but I'm not going to want to get like room service in my room. I want to go out to breakfast and go out to lunch and try cheesesteaks. And I do not want to sit in our room and order room service.
I think it's also different when you're like on a work trip or if you're by yourself. I think it's a little bit different. Sometimes there is an appeal to if you're with your wife or something and you're having a lazy morning, late night, and you're like, how nice would it be to just have some breakfast rolled right on?
You're massively hungover and it's convenient because you stayed up late, whatever, the night before on your trip and had a little too much to drink at the bar downstairs. Oh, I guess there's a time and a place for everything, including room service, but
I bet Mike Schilt's a big room service guy. I don't think he wants to even waste time looking.
That's what I wonder.
DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Does he make the coffee from the pods that are already in the room, or does he just go downstairs and get a coffee? Or
how does it work? Coffee with the room.
I've done it a couple of times. I feel like I want to take advantage of all the services that my Hampton Inn has to provide, and it is included. It's not free. It's included in the cost of the room. It's part of. It's like 8 cents of that room charge of those pods that they set up for you. So I do like to take advantage of what's in that room. You know, if I need to iron something, I want to iron something. I got an iron in my room. I want to use it.
I'm not even wearing this shirt, but I'm going to iron it.
So I got a hair dryer. All right. I'm plugging it in and I'm drying my hair with it, even though I have never used a hair dryer at home in my life. If I'm on the road and there's a hair dryer, hey, you know, I'm paying for that thing. I want to use my hair dryer in my room.
I think we also, again, you know, this whole conversation started with Mike Schilt and baseball players on the road. Like, they go to these cities so often, a lot of them, that maybe there isn't so much of an appeal.
That's true.
To check out the local staples like it would be for us. But, like, when they get to Denver, Colorado next weekend, that's probably most definitely a room in division opponent. You're there a couple times a year. Like, it's just, I'm ready to get home. Just bring me something from downstairs.
It's possible with Schilt as well. We know he gets to the ballpark pretty early, and they take pretty good care of players and managers there. They got the, you know, the visiting food service, you know, whatever you need. Maybe he just goes to the ballpark and says, all right, coffee and breakfast, and just bring it to my office or something like that. So I don't know. I was just curious what his travel is, because they get a long trip. It's 10 days, three cities, Pittsburgh, New York, Colorado. Very different cities on this trip for the Padres as well, but all potentially with weather. There are no retractable roofs in Pittsburgh, in New York, or in Colorado, and all three of those places could get dicey in early May. So, yeah, that would be the worst if you have a trip in which multiple cities are impacted, and then all of a sudden later in the season you got to go back and like make up games because you didn't get all of those in, or you have to play multiple double headers on a 9-game road trip. That messes your pitching staff. That's something that I would imagine he is somewhat concerned about.
Oh yeah,
going into
just
the start of this trip,
weather, you're like, they may get today's game in and then tomorrow it's going to be in question. Does that make a double header on Sunday, and how that's going to impact everything moving forward? Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see here.
Arturo wants to know if I go to the hotel gym. I do sometimes go to the hotel gym.
Just to look around?
Even though I don't go to any other gyms, but hey, it's included in the cost of my room. Now, I won't go if it's an extra cost. If it's like one of those gym fees and you got to pay $25, you will never see me in one of those. But if it's included in the cost of the room, yes, I will try to take advantage of the hotel gym from time to time.
Megan and I, we're going to Vegas for our annual anniversary / Memorial Gras party weekend celebration at the end of May. And we just booked, we're going to pamper ourselves with a spa day when we're out there. You would never, ever pay spa prices, would you?
No, because you could probably find a more affordable spa outside the hotel. The hotel is going to charge you 2-3 times what you could get at a regular spa.
You're going to walk downstairs, get in the Uber line.
Well, I'm not going to the spa.
Get a ride, 20 minutes outside of where you're at, just to save $75.
Yeah. $75 is $75. Mm. But enjoy your, what are you going to get? Pedicure, facial?
I got a massage. I think Megan was between, I think she got a massage as well. We're both getting massages, and then you get like 3 hours with all the other spa services, like
seaweed wrap, mud mask,
sauna, the hot tub, the pool, the steam room,
cucumber water,
all of that stuff. They've got it all. They've got all the equipment and everything. It looks really nice, and yeah, it's going to be, you get that all included when you get a treatment. So definitely ready for that.
There's never been a spa guy. I can't get relaxed. It doesn't call to me. Even the massage is really mostly just an uncomfortable 90 minutes or whatever it is.
You're getting the wrong massage then, my friend.
Apparently. I don't know. What massage am I supposed to get?
I think they have regular ones that are more soothing and relaxing. Then they have like the athletic massages that they hurt.
I definitely don't want those.
Me and Woods got those. We did the day before fantasy camp this year. We drove over to Scottsdale and went to a really nice resort and had like deep tissue athletic massages the night before we started fantasy camp and started working out a bunch, and it hurt. They get in there, and it really hurts, but you feel so loose and relaxed the next morning. It's like a high you've never experienced. In your case, ever.
Teej wants to know, do I ever get a pedicure? Were you not here for that show, Teej? I got my one and only pedicure sitting in this chair.
We did that during spring, with the summer break.
Mobile pedicure when they came in during our, during our summer break. When Woods likes to set up fun things for us to do. I didn't hate the pedicure, actually. I kind of liked the pedicure. I haven't done it yet, but I've actually thought about going and doing another one because I did enjoy that enough.
I would recommend it. It's not as expensive as you think. You can find it affordable. It's worth it. You are on your feet a lot. Take care of them.
Elisa says, I might enjoy a facial since I liked my milk lip treatment. It's essentially the same thing, right? You're just putting weird stuff on your face and letting it sit there.
Yeah.
All right. Enough on spa treatments and room service because we have a game to play. Now, we don't have Woods, so we can't take on Woods. We don't have John either because it's Friday, and I don't think they're in the studio today.
We're the only people in the building, apparently, here at Odyssey on a Friday.
So we will be, for the last game of the month, we will be reprising Real or Fake today. Maybe good news for some of you out there because I know Take on Woods can be good to win. We didn't have a winner on Real or Fake yesterday either, though, but if you want to try to be our last qualifier for our Getaway to Las Vegas concert tickets, $150 gift card, you can call in during the break, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We will play a little Real or Fake when we come back as we get ready for Mike Shildt coming up at 9 o'clock this morning with our manager's report. All ahead with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Kelly's traffic up next. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, they found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why the recruiter's expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled, talented candidates you want. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Dub J had an interesting suggestion in the YouTube chat. Says next time Woods is scheduled to be out, he wasn't scheduled to be out, he was sick, but you should arrange the top two contestants that win Take on Woods to call in and play each other, like a Jeopardy tournament of champions. I'm not opposed to the idea of doing like some of the best like, against each other at some point.
Like put them... How'd that work?
I'm not sure.
They be on the line at the same time.
But they can't hear. One of them would have to like promise not to listen.
The other one to go and hear all the...
Yeah, you couldn't both be on the phone. Well, logistics aside, we will...
I'll let you figure that
out. Ponder that one for a while, Dub J, but I appreciate the suggestion for sure. Today, though, with no Woods and no John in the building, we could take on Adam, but I don't think that would be all that fun. So instead...
Do you have a whole category of Dan and Shay questions
something? Instead, we're going to play a little Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Real or Fake, brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and I get to tell Alex what he could win. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Let's play a little Real or Fake. If you can get 4 of 7 correct, you will be entered. The last one entered into our grand prize drawing for the trip to Las Vegas. Tickets to either Disturbed, Ghost, or Pantera, plus a two-night stay at the MGM Grand and a $150 gift card. Get your tickets for all three shows now at Ticketmaster.com.
This is an easier game, I think, for a lot of people than Take on Woods. However, Alex, there's no Woods here. You can't ask me for help either because Ben sends me the answers,
right.
So I know how to ding or buzz you for your answer.
At worst, you have a 50% chance.
Sure.
Now, if you know this category, this could be the easiest Real or Fake of all time, or it could be very difficult. May the 4th be with you. Technically, it's not until Sunday, but Sunday is the day, Alex, to celebrate all things Star Wars.
It wouldn't matter if I had the answer. I wouldn't be able to help
you,
Alex.
He would not be able to help you. Woods would not be able to probably help you either on this one. Are you nerdy enough to know the difference between a Star Wars character and a Star Trek character. I am certainly nerdy enough to get all seven right in this category. Today, on Real or Fake, Alex, I will give you a name. You tell me if it's a real character from one of the Star Wars movies or a fake, a character from one of the Star Trek television shows. You got it?
So real Star Wars, fake Star Trek.
Do you watch either, both, any of them?
I know Star Wars pretty good.
All right,
Star Trek,
then you got a chance then on this one. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, round one. Real or fake Star Wars character? Tasha Yar. Tasha Yar. Real or fake?
Ooh, if this is like a nitty-gritty one, I could be wrong. I'm just going to go fake.
Fake. Correct. Security officer on the USS Enterprise under Captain Picard. That is one right for you, and I am showing my nerdiness now. All right, round number two. Greedo. Greedo.
For Star Wars or Star Trek?
It's real or real is Star Wars, fake is Star Trek.
Okay. I'm going to go real.
Real. Greedo. Yeah.
And, good start.
Han Solo blasts him, I believe, at the start of Star Wars.
No way.
Right? Yeah. All right, that's
no
two
way.
Right. We are halfway there. All right, round number three. Jyn Erso. Jyn Erso. Real or fake Star Wars character?
Fake.
Have you not seen Rogue One, which may be the best Star Wars movie of them all? That was she was the kind of the main character of that one. All right, that's all right. That's just one incorrect. Let's go to round number four. Tuvok. Tuvok.
Tuvok. You said Tuvok with a T?
Tuvok, yeah, with a T. Tuvok.
Fake?
Fake, yeah. Star Trek Voyager, as they tried to make their way back from the Delta Quadrant. He was the Vulcan science officer and security specialist. All right, one more and you're correct and you win it all. Let's go with Odo. Odo, real or fake Star Wars character?
Fake.
Fake, yeah. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Well done! Alex, you are, in fact, a nerd. Congratulations. You are entered into our drawing for Las Vegas and the two tickets. And stay on the line. Paul, they'll get your entry by Monday. We will have a winner. And someone who qualified this month will be contacted. And then we'll start brand new for officially the month of May. Next week on May 5th.
And then we have new categories or new prize.
New prize next week. Yeah. The other ones would have been real Mace Windu, Jedi Knight, played by Samuel L. Jackson, and Newt Gunray, who is the Trade Federation, whatever he was in the first Star Wars episode one. So there you go. Good job, Alex. We have a winner for today. We will take a timeout. When we come back, talk a little more baseball, what went on yesterday around the major leagues, and the new controversy that I had not heard about, but apparently a lot of players are talking about, and it has to do with the umpiring this year in Major League Baseball. We will get to that coming up next.
You're pulling a fast one on everybody?
I don't know. I saw this yesterday, and I thought, oh, I didn't even realize this was going on. It's coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got another one of those commercials during the break. It was for Eloquus when they have the disclaimers at the end for all
hit
the
by a truck.
No, not that one.
Maybe my favorite moment of the week.
All the disclaimers at the end for what can happen to you if you take the drug, the side effects.
Hit by a truck.
No, it's not a side effect of Eliquis. But I mean, they go through so many of them, like 30 seconds of the side effects, and it's very rare. I mean, it's like less than 1% of people, but they have to mention them legally, I guess. One of them, they said, is paralysis, which then the announcer goes on to explain, which is the inability to move. Yes, thank you for explaining what paralysis is in your side effect disclaimer at the end of the spot. We have a robust Star Wars, Star Trek chat now going on in our YouTube stream after Real or Fake. And all I can say is that I appreciate it. You are all very lucky that Woods is under the weather today, because he would be making fun of you mercilessly as not a Star Wars or Star Trek or any science fiction whatsoever person. I've never seen anyone who is really more opposed to science fiction than Woods is. He really, really doesn't enjoy it at all.
I mean, I'm kind of with
that. I know you're kind of like that, too.
I'm a little bit more.
Yeah, you're like a little more.
Like, I was watching Deadpool, I think, was on TV the other day, and I'm like, that's one I think Woods would actually, like, find entertaining.
He would absolutely think it's hilarious if he just let himself just get into like the universe of what it is that's going on.
But outside of that, I haven't seen any of the Marvel movies, Fantastic Four.
And of course, I've seen all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies and shows, all the Star Trek shows, every single episode of all of them.
I liked the Dark Knight movies, superhero-esque
Batman. He likes those because he feels like Batman is... could be a real person. He's just a really rich guy who's in a lot, really good shape and has really good tech.
That's why Batman was my favorite.
He was also okay with Iron Man because he feels like it wasn't magical. You know, it was just a really smart guy with really, really good tech. That honestly, let's be honest, the Iron Man tech is magical. It's not realistic in any way, shape, or form that anything could do what the Iron Man suit does. So it's just as magic as Thor or Captain America taking a super serum, but he thinks that it's a little more realistic because, well, I don't know.
Tyler says
built it himself.
Paulie watched the recent Batman with Robert Pattinson. I did watch those because I started to watch The Penguin on HBO Max like in the last 6 months. One of the best shows of the last several years, I thought. It was fantastic. But one of my buddies was like, wait, you're watching The Penguin and you haven't gone and seen The Batman yet? He's like, stop what you're doing right now. Go watch the movies. It'll have some tie-ins. It'll make the show make a little bit more sense.
Irie Fangeek says, Ben should try the Vulcan death punch on Polly. First of all, it's a pinch. It's just a pinch in the back of the neck.
And it doesn't throw you out the window.
And it doesn't kill you. It just makes you pass out for a few minutes. Spock would not be just killing people randomly left and right. Vulcans are fairly pacifists. They're very logical. They're not trying to just murder people with their neck pinches all the time. All right, we got our, I'm sure Mike Schilt would love this conversation. He strikes me as someone who really, really gets into Star Wars, probably goes home and watches it almost every night.
Really cool.
Yeah. Stay tuned later this morning for our manager's report coming up at 9 a.m. with Mike Schilt, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. We'll go through yesterday's action in Major League Baseball that did not involve your San Diego Padres, plus the new controversy brewing among umpires and players after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So guess who's red hot all of a sudden? The Colorado Rockies have won two in a row. They beat the San Francisco Giants yesterday 4-3, rallying from a 3-1 deficit. First two game winning streak of the season for the Rockies, who now are 6-25. I don't know if this diminishes the Padres' wins at all after they swept the Giants. Now the Giants just go on and lose to the Colorado Rockies. does not a great look, but you know the Rockies are going to get theirs. Hopefully they just get less of theirs against the Padres than they do against the Giants and Diamondbacks and Dodgers. Padres are 3-0. Giants are now 0-1 against the Colorado Rockies. Probably will bounce back, I would imagine, in the next couple of days.
I would say that's probably a safe bet. Yeah.
But they did get that one yesterday. And the Diamondbacks also played yesterday. They beat the New York Mets 4-2 behind 6 2-hit innings from Zach Gallen, allowing just one earned run. I noticed, so someone for the Diamondbacks named Tim Tawa hit a home run yesterday.
Go ahead.
Tim Tawa hit his fifth home run of the season yesterday. Tim Tawa, who plays second base for the Diamondbacks, and I'm going to admit right now, I have never heard of in my life, Tim Tawa has more home runs than Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, and Jason Hayward combined.
Wow.
So far this season. Who is Tim Tawa?
Who the fudge is Tim Tawa? I thought you were going to say he hit a Tawa-ing
home run. No,
or
you came
yesterday.
Up with that one. That was all you, Paulie.
I was like, if you
congratulations.
Do this, I'm going to come over there and slap you.
A Tawa-ing blast. No, that even didn't occur to me. I was more going can't the Padres have someone, just one random guy, just pop up with five home runs like Tim Tawa
it's
at some point?
Supposed to be Gavin Sheets.
He has three. I mean, Luis Arraez has three. That's pretty good. But the Padres are actually now near the bottom of the league in home runs hit. I think they've only hit 26 all season. That's less than half as many as the league leaders, the New York Yankees. Now, Yankees playing a home run haven of a ballpark, and but the lack of power, I don't want to say is risen to the level of like concerning, but certainly be helpful if the Padres hit a few more. It's not like they don't have home run hitters on their roster. Tatis has got his eight, but after that, I mean, it's been a rough go for the Padres to get the ball out of the ballpark so far this season.
Yeah, they're kind of beating the typical way. Like right now, the way the game is played, you kind of live and die with the long ball. They're going the opposite. They're going back a little more old school with the small ball. We saw a lot of aggressiveness on the base paths earlier in the season. I haven't seen a ton lately. And if you want to draw a conclusion there, like there's a connection between how they've played over the last couple of weeks and what their record shows. I think I can entertain that conversation, but yeah, they have not demonstrated, even in those first 2-3 weeks where they were on fire, they had the ability to hit the long ball, but they weren't depending on the long
ball. Yeah, Tony says they're hitting more line drives. I mean, that is their Petco Park hitting strategy, you know, gap to gap, focusing on line drives.
And can you succeed in today's game all season long by...
I don't know.
Not depending on the long.
I don't know. I mean, the idea is that those line drives, occasionally you lift them a little bit and they go out of the yard because you're hitting them hard. And the most important thing with a home run is actually hitting it hard. Not the getting it in the air part, that'll happen or it doesn't happen based on the angle of contact. But you just have to hit the ball hard, which is good. But the Padres just aren't lifting them at all. Now, in past years, as you know, Petco Park has warmed up and summer hits, you generally do see more output from the Padres, but they're lagging behind this year, even lagging behind Tim Tawa on the home run charts. Jeffrey says he's filling in for Ketel Marte while Marte's on the injured list. Yeah, second base, I guess. Just didn't know who he was this season.
Five home runs already?
Five home runs for Tim Tawa. Unless I read it wrong. I did read earlier this week, Adam called me out after the show. I said that Kyle Higashioka hit his fifth home run. It was his fifth double. He only has one home run. His numbers actually have not been particularly good offensively for the Rangers this year. So, my bad. 3 days later, I will issue that correction that Kyle Higashioka has only one home run this season.
Tim Tawa has appeared in 19 games,
five home runs in 19 games. Wow.
190.
Okay, so he's all power, no average.
787 OPS.
So he's really, if you have a 7-6, if you're 19 games, you've hit five home runs and your OPS is under 800, you've literally done nothing other than hit the five home runs.
483 slug, 304 on base percentage. Yeah, he's a home run hitter.
I don't know who he is. Let's see. We talked about the Cubs beat the Pirates and Paul Skeens yesterday, 8-3. The Reds bounced back from a doubleheader sweep to beat the Cardinals 9-1 and split their four-game series. The Nationals rallied from behind against the Phillies, 4-run sixth inning, helping end a three-game skid. We heard that John Crux story from that broadcast when Tony Gwynn had him fake arrested in Oregon when they were both playing rookie ball early in their careers in 1981. That was funny. Let's see. Vlad Jr. hit a 3-run homer in the bottom of the eighth inning to lift the Blue Jays past the Red Sox 4-2. A's continue to play well. They shut out the Rangers 3-0, 6 2-hit innings from Jeffrey Springs. White Sox avoided a sweep with an 8-0 win over the Brewers. First time the Brewers have been shut out all season long. Padres were on that list until last week when they all of a sudden couldn't score for a few days. But now the Brewers are on the list of teams that have been shut out. Royals beat the Rays 8-2. You know, after the Rays left San Diego sweeping the Padres, have not won again. They got swept by the Royals. Shane Baz, who was clearly one of the best pitchers in baseball, unhittable, gave up 7 runs to the Royals yesterday.
He got
in that game. So
I'm like, I was at the game on Friday night. He looked unhittable.
He was just so good. But no, you put the Royals lineup against him, and he is terrible, apparently. So
super cool.
Maybe last week just didn't make a lot of sense if you're a San Diego Padres fan. Guardians beat the Twins in extra innings 4-3. In the Tigers over the Angels 10-4. Ooh, life is tough for the Angels right now. Sixth straight loss, and Mike Trout is back on the injured list with a bone bruise. They say no structural damage, but he is back on the IL where he has spent the better part of the last 3 years or so. And he hadn't been hitting actually even before he went on to the IL either, as the Angels were a nice start for like 15 games.
Yeah.
Going, look at the Angels. Lucky Angels, some new team, you know, they've signed some new players and things are going well. They're not going well anymore in Anaheim.
It makes me sad every time I see, which is like every 3 weeks now it feels like, that I see that Mike Trout has gone on the IL again. He's just one of those guys where you feel like the game is better with him playing. But if you were to say that you're surprised that he landed up on the IL again, I'd call you a fool.
Yeah. I mean, a bone bruise is a weird... I mean, it's not a... It's not something... It's probably he just banged it hard against something likely, but, you know, that'll happen. But he just has had some bad luck for sure in recent years. But that's not the controversy. I had not heard about this until I read it at SportsIllustrated.com yesterday. So apparently, pitchers and batters, mostly batters, are kind of up in arms. So this was Eno and Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic detailing a story about MLB's strike zone. Now, the strike zone has not changed at all. It's still...
Thanks for the heads up, by the way, yesterday, Eno. You told us all about
this. Yeah, going to drop a new story on us last night. So the strike zone's still the strike zone. You know, the plate is the plate. It hasn't gotten bigger or smaller. It's still knees to whatever it is, under the armpits or, you know, a little above the belt, wherever umpires call it. So nothing has changed with the strike zone. However, how umpires are being graded by Major League Baseball has changed. In the past, when they had their, like, performance reviews, if they called a strike and a ball was within 2 inches of the plate, which is not nothing. I mean, a 2-inch buffer is, you know, what about like that? They weren't knocked, you know, by their, you know, Major League Baseball would say, it's fine, it's close enough, you know, you're going to get some of those right, you're going to get
it's
some
not
of those
egregious.
Wrong. So they knew that, all right, if I miss, if it's an inch outside, I'm going to be okay if I call that a strike. So you had umpires being a little more generous with their strike zones. But now, under their new CBA with the umpires, they are evaluated on just 3/4 of an inch. That's a pretty big reduction. That's 62.5%. So now a ball that is an inch outside, if they call it a strike, goes up in their performance review as, okay, you made a mistake here. Used to be, you were absolutely fine. So what's the result of that, of course? Umpires are more hesitant to call strikes on balls that they think are borderline on the outside of the plate because they don't want to get dinged in their performance review. And players, especially pitchers, are noticing that they are, well, they're not getting those pitches quite as often.
That makes sense.
Should they have been getting
them?
Probably not. You shouldn't be getting a pitch that's 2 inches off the zone.
Yeah.
But you were from some umpires because they weren't getting penalized for it. Now they are, which means, you know, it does change the way umpires are calling games behind the plate.
Interesting.
You know, that should lead to something that Major League Baseball always wants, which is more offense. You know, pitchers have to be more in the zone. Makes it easier for batters to hit.
Calls, yeah.
Guys get on base a little bit more. You score runs. That is something that Major League Baseball has been trying to do for years.
Hitters didn't know this either. So were they like, wow, I'm getting a lot of pitches I can
it's possible.
Barrel here. Like a lot more than I used to get.
MLB says it discussed the changes with managers at the December winter meetings, but several of the managers the Athletic spoke to said they had no recollection of such a change, despite at least one Padres manager Mike Schilt labeling it something that would have been on his radar to make sure players and coaches knew of the change. So this is potentially a bit of an under-the-radar mystery change, even though MLB says, yeah, we told you this was coming. No one seems to remember that they were going to do this or change the way that umpires were evaluated by Major League Baseball. So,
say, if only we had a manager that was joining us in, I don't know, 7 minutes, and maybe we could ask him about that.
Oh, and who was actually quoted in the Athletic piece about this story about not small, again, I don't want to call it a smaller strike zone, but a smaller enforcement of the strike zone by umpires.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's hard to get mad about it. You're asking
them to get the right calls.
You're asking umpires to be better at their jobs and holding them to stricter standards to be better for their jobs. As fans, I feel like that's something we've screamed about for years. Like, does anyone hold these guys accountable when they call a pitch that's 2 inches off the zone? Well, in the past, the answer was no. They were told they're doing a good job. Yeah, 2 inches off the zone, strike, yep. You are in the clear. Now you call one inch off the zone, and it's like, all right, we're writing that up in your record. Not that I don't know that they get fired, or but they don't get choice assignments. All-Star games,
playoffs,
World Series if they don't have a good season, and they make extra money, and obviously the prestige of working those games is important to umpires. So they don't want to get written up, so they are going to be obviously more careful with their strike calls on balls that are close but not necessarily touching the black on the outside or the inside of the plate. It's a real thing, apparently, that's going on in Major League Baseball, and one that was at least completely under my radar, and it sounds like it was under the radar of a lot of managers in Major League Baseball so far this season as well. So, yeah, we can ask Mike Shildt about that. We will talk to Mike Shildt in our next segment. Our manager's report is just around the corner. He can give us a weather report on what it looks like in Pittsburgh at the moment. I believe they stay right across that bridge from PNC Park, so have a good view of the ballpark. You may already be at the ballpark. Sometimes on these East Coast trips, he calls us from the manager's office.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if he was already there.
Yep. So, coming up next, final hour of Men and Woods, kicking off with our manager's report with Mike Shildt. Stay tuned to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan, we will be right back.